Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. And verse 65. Manmana bhagavat bhakto madhyaji ma namaskuru māve vaiṣyasi satyam te pratijāne priyosi me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. And verse 66. Sarva dharman puricharya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashicha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So these are some very important words from Lord Krishna from right at the end of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, there are only another 12 verses, and that is the end of Bhagavad Gita. Incidentally, perhaps you can turn your cell phones off if you don't mind. I was in Mauritius a little while ago, and some of our devotees there had a new cell phone ringtone. It was the sound of a cow mooing. And suddenly in the middle of the class we heard this mooing sound. Anyway, so we don't want any distractions, please. Yes, so now these are very important verses in Bhagavad Gita, right at the end, as we said. And as we all know, any book or any presentation of any sort, there's a beginning, middle, and end. And beginning introduces, middle is the body of it. And but everything culminates at the end. This is what the beginning and the middle are leading us to, the end. The end is the climax, the conclusion, the finale, and that is really what it is all about, ultimately. the end. So here, this is the end of Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Krishna, Bhagavad Gita has exactly 700 persons. You can count them. Exactly 700. And throughout those 700 verses, Lord Krishna has discussed a number of subjects, or even more particularly, a number of different processes for improvement, personal development, and so on like this. Different forms of yoga, particularly in the first six chapters. The Lord Krishna discusses different forms of yoga. I don't know how many of you have really read the Bhagavad Gita and have a fair idea of what is the actual flow of the discussion. But in the first six chapters, or from the end of the second chapter really, through to the end of the sixth chapter, Lord Krishna is discussing different forms of yoga, like Sankhya yoga, like Ashtanga yoga, and particularly, well, third chapter and fifth chapter he focuses on Karma yoga. But then at the end of the sixth chapter, Krishna explains that of all the yogis, yoginama visarvesham madgatena taratmana shradavan vajate yomam sadayuktatavamata. That of all the different yogis, yoginama visarvesham madgatena taratmana, the one who makes me the goal, antaratmana, within himself or herself, and Shradavan, with faith, Bhajate Yo Nam. Those of you who understand some Hindi will be able to follow this. It's very simple Sanskrit. Shradavan Bhajate Yo Nam. And who worship me with faith, Krishna says, Sa ne yuktatamo mataha. That sa, that one, him, that one, he is the best of all the yogis. Ne mataha, that is my opinion, Krishna says. So anyway, in the first six chapters, different forms of yoga are described. And then so many processes are described, different processes of sacrifice, of meditation, of worship, of different deities even. And in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is very succinctly, very briefly, but in a very comprehensive way, Lord Krishna is analyzing all the main processes for personal development and spiritual development which are presented throughout the Vedic literatures. By Vedic literatures, we mean the four Vedas and their corollaries, the Upanishads, Brahmanas, Aranyakas. And then the Smriti literatures also, the histories, Itihasas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Puranas, and the Smriti Dharma Shastras, like the scriptures dealing with Ayurveda and so on, all part of the Smriti. So when we say Vedic literatures, we mean all these literatures, all these scriptures. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is analyzing all the main processes presented. And then, at the end, where we are right now in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is giving his conclusion, as we would expect. As we would expect, because it's the end of the book. And of course, well, in that verse I mentioned from the 6th chapter, Lord Krishna said, Sāve yuktatamo mataha, that this is my opinion. This person is the best yogi, and this is my opinion. Lord Krishna, of course, is not like one of us. We are all basically ordinary people. Lord Krishna is not just an ordinary person. If he was, then why today, 5,000 years after he appeared in this world, why is it today that his birthday is celebrated by millions and many millions of people? Because he's not an ordinary person. He is the supreme person, actually. That is how he describes himself. So, but Lord Krishna is a very cultured person. He is not just, you know, you could say an overly straightforward person. He presents things very nicely. So therefore he says there, this is my opinion. But we should not think that, well, Krishna has his opinion, and you have yours, and I have mine, and we all have our opinions, and in this way we all go on. No, when Lord Krishna presents his idea, then we should understand that this is it, basically. This is the right idea, and we should try to accept that and try to understand that. Use our intelligence to understand it. So, here at the end of Bhagavad Gita then, in these verses, the first verse, 64, is very interesting in that Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, Shrinu me, listen to me, or my paramam vacha, listen to my supreme words. Again, this is relatively simple Sanskrit. If you understand some Hindi, you can follow. Sarva guyatamam buya. This is sarva guyatamam. In Sanskrit, there is guyam. Guyam means confidential. Confidential in the sense of very deep and not just accessible to anyone. But then there is guyataram. Guyataram means more confidential. And then there is guyatamam, which means most confidential, deepest, most significant. So Krishna is saying, sarva guyatamam, this is the most profound knowledge of all. Shrinu me paramam vacha. You listen now to my supreme words. And then he speaks the other two verses in which he explains the process of devotional service to him. Manmana, we should think of him, Bhava Mad Bhakto, we should become his bhaktas, his devotees. Madhyaji, we should worship him in the formal sense. And Mam, Namaskuru, we should offer our namaskars to him. And then in 66, Sarva Dharma Parichaya. Just give up all other dharmas and Mam Ekam, Eka, me only, Sharanam, Vraja. You take refuge in me, Ekam, only, and then I will deliver you. So, this is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita, this is actually what Lord Krishna is trying to inform us of through his presentation of Bhagavad Gita. Now, as we mentioned, and as I'm sure many of you know, in Bhagavad Gita there are many different processes presented, all those forms of yoga and so on, we mentioned a few. And as a result, quite some number of people who have like superficial little bit of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, they have some idea, but maybe not so much of an idea. They think that in Bhagavad Gita, what is Lord Krishna doing? He is just presenting different options. You could do this, or you could do that, or you could do another thing, or something else. Different possibilities. And you just choose as you like. And in that sense, those people think that the Bhagavad Gita does not exactly have a point, an actual conclusion or a message which is trying to present, but it's just like a whole, a big mixture. In fact, our spiritual master, Prabhupada, who of course came here in 1975, and in fact came to Reservoir Hills and did a program up the road there with that Sekhar Samaj, is now built. So yeah, Prabhupada came here, and Srila Prabhupada, in regard to this idea that so many different processes are presented in Bhagavad Gita, and maybe you can just choose whatever you like and it's up to you, and there's nothing being presented as like the final thing. Srila Prabhupada said that this is tantamount to thinking that Bhagavad Gita is something like a box, like a spiritual box of assorted chocolates. I don't know if you're chocolate fans, but maybe assorted Diwali sweets. You know, some burpee, some laddu, a rasgulla, and whatever. Jalebi fan, we won't get into it. But I think you get the idea. So there is, I mean, you've received boxes of Diwali sweets before. And you know, if you have a lot of connections, then you will have received a lot of boxes and a lot of sweets. And in fact, too many. You, as one person, you could not eat that. So you look through. Here, all these, so many different types of sweets. I was in India, actually, on Diwali. I just got back from India on Monday. But I was there, Diwali. And I don't know how many of you have been there on Diwali, but the sweets, it is amazing. Oh, so many varieties in such quantities. Even if you had one of each, you would probably expire. Just too much. So what do? You choose. Because you cannot eat it all. So you choose. And what do you choose? You choose what you like. And another person, he may also choose what he likes. And it may be different from what you like. That's just up to you. That is just up to the individual. And because I choose the burpee, and he, Krishna here, he chooses the laddu, it does not mean that the burpee is actually the best. or the Ladu is the best. It's just a question of personal taste, that's all. It is not a question of some relative evaluation or comparison, really. It's just a matter of what I like. So, Srila Prabhupada said that these people think that Bhagavad Gita is like a box of spiritual assorted chocolates. You just choose which one you like. I'll do Hatha Yoga, and you can chant some mantras, and she can worship some deity, and he can give some charity, all these different things you can do. So it's not just that Krishna is presenting many, many options, and then what to do, what to choose from the options, because you can't do them all. That this is just up to you according to your personal taste, and that is fine. No, because generally if you're going to school or university, generally when you read a book or watch a film or something like this, a television show, generally it has a point. It goes, it progresses from the beginning through its course and comes to the end, and the end is, you know, the big thing, isn't it? So why would we expect that Lord Krishna, who is the supreme person, who is supremely intelligent, and who is supremely concerned to help us? This is why he comes. He does not come to have a holiday. He lives in the kingdom of God. Life there is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. There is no politics. There are no economic problems. There are no health problems. It is called Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety. Vai means without. Vaikuntha is without anxiety. So why would he bother coming here? Not to take a break from that place, but simply out of his kindness, that's all. So if he, seeing he is doing that, and he makes it clear, yada yada hi dharmasya, and so on, I think some of you would know that verse, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskrita dharma samsakalartaya samarami yuge yuge. Krishna says, I appear to protect the sadhus, the pious people, and to destroy the demoniac people. And dharma samsthapanartaya, to re-establish dharma. So Lord Krishna comes like this with a real mission. Why, in his main presentation, Bhagavad Gita, his main opportunity to present what he is offering, why would he just present some jumble and leave it up to us? And what is our qualification? We are the ones who need to be helped. But now we are going to decide what will help us. It is something like going to the doctor when you're sick, and he tells you, well, take that, some medicine, and you say, well, no, I don't think I will, I think I'll take something else. So obviously this is not a very good proposition. So why would Krishna, in his main presentation, just offer so many opportunities and just walk away from it and let us make the decision of what we may do or not do? It doesn't make good sense at all. And indeed, Lord Krishna, having presented the whole of Bhagavad Gita right around this point at the end of the 18th chapter, Lord Krishna asks Arjuna, have you understood? And if Arjuna had said, no, I didn't understand, then Lord Krishna was prepared to repeat the entire thing again. So it is a fact that Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is trying to get a message across. He has a point, and not just some sort of mishmash or something like that. So this is the point. This is the point, and we should try and take this to heart. Because this is the point of Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita is the most important of the Vedic literatures, generally, in the sense of being the most instructive. So this is the point. Krishna says, Manmana, we should think of him. We are thinking of many things during the course of a day. Our family, our job, our bank balance, what's happening in the crime world or political realms, so many things in our minds. But Krishna says we should think of him and we should serve him. We should dedicate our activities to him. This is what Lord Krishna was trying to convince Arjuna of. Arjuna was a warrior, a soldier, but he didn't want to fight. And the battle was right there in front of him. But he didn't want to fight. Although it was his natural occupation, the only occupation he had had for his entire life. So Lord Krishna convinced him that you should do your duty, but not just do it, but you should do it as an offering to me, Krishna says. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi, yat shahoshi vidasiyat, yat tapasyasi konteya, tat kurusha mad arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away in charity, and whatever austerities you may perform, do that mad arpanam, as an offering to me, Krishna says. So this is the point, that we should try and dedicate our lives to pleasing Krishna, dedicate our natural duties. It doesn't mean that one has to give everything up and live some extreme life of renunciation. After all, Arjuna, at the end of the battle, just a few days later, 18 days later, he and his brothers won the battle and the kingdom of the entire planet. And they lived as royalty. Actually, they lived so much as royalty that the current day royals would look like poor people living in extreme opulence. But all in the mood of duty, managing the state, organizing the people, making arrangements to help the people, as a truly qualified government. So it is not that if we accept this principle of dedicating our natural duties for the pleasure of Krishna. It is not that this must mean that now we must live like hermits or in some sort of reclusive situation. You can carry on. In fact, Krishna says you must carry on doing your duty. But bhava mad bhaktam. You do that mad arpanam as an offering to me, as a service to me. Let me give you a very practical example. A very simple example, but very practical. Here we have many ladies, and many of you I know, you're married ladies, you have families, you have your house, and you are organizing things in your house. So, in terms of Bhagavad Gita, what Lord Krishna is saying is that you should do that as an offering to Him. So what would that entail, practically? Well, it would entail, like Krishna says in the 9th chapter, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yole Bhaktya Prayashti. You should offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. So the housewife at home can cook nice food and offer it to Krishna, and then feed it to the family, and it is prasad. They will be spiritually benefited. And this is a very simple, natural thing that any housewife can do. It's just a matter of offering that food to the Lord, and then arranging the house nicely with nice, suitable pictures and suitable environment, spiritual environment. And like this, so when the family members are there, just by the atmosphere which is being created by the wife or mother, they will feel naturally, spiritually inspired and will want to engage themselves in spiritual activities rather than just sit in front of television, which very appropriate. Anyway, it's called the one-eyed guru by some people. It's called the idiot box by people who are a little more sort of expressive. And, you know, let's face it, it really shows that you don't have very much good to do with your evening. The best thing you can do is sit in front of television and watch Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. Yeah, I know that was a few years ago, but I lost touch of that. So this is what Lord Krishna is saying here in Bhagavad Gita. And we should try and do like that. Apply this. This is scientific. This is practical. It is not just a matter of believing. Like we mentioned, if you chant nicely, then within minutes, you will get a practical experience of some upliftment from the chanting. And I would assume that a number of you experienced that already. So it is a practical thing. It is not just that you must believe that, yes, now I am feeling spiritually happy. No, you know whether you are or not. So, like this, Krishna consciousness is a practical process. We can change our lives and improve our lives, improve ourselves, and make ourselves, our lives, much happier and much more peaceful, and become much more able to deal with difficulties when they arise. So we can do that. Anyone can do that. Even a child can do that. Even a child can do that by applying these principles of Bhagavad Gita. So, this is our message here to you. You're all very good people. This is Saturday night. You could be out on the town, but you're not. You are here in the tent. And that shows that there's some piety, some intelligence, some feeling for these things. We recognize that. Very clearly we recognize that. And we appreciate that deeply. And our idea, at least, is to try and offer you something practical which you can take home and use. Like one of my godbrothers, Guru Bhai, he said that it is like a spiritual technology. Not just close your eyes, believe in something and pray and hope for the best, but you don't find out till you die, and then if you were wrong, it's too late. Not just something airy-fairy, but something real. A real spiritual strategy to apply in one's life and get practical benefit from in very dynamic ways. So please take Krishna consciousness home with you. Take some of the literature, take some of the deeds, and apply these things. Associate with our devotees, attend the programs, get involved. Get involved in spiritual life and see the benefits, the wonderful changes and developments that take place if we do like that. So now, thank you very much for listening very attentively. I don't know if do we have any questions, or there's a question sheet around, isn't there? Are there any questions on it? So if there are, we'll answer a few questions for 5 minutes, and then we'll continue with the rest of the program. And I believe, anyway, I won't. Well, I believe, I was told, shall I say, we're going to have a little drama this evening. Are we? We actually are. Is he here? Oh, he's here. So it's beyond belief. He is already here. And I believe it will be humorous. And you will see how humor, if someone is just, you know, one of these funny people, humorous people, how they can use that even. I mean, if you can use being a soldier in the service of God, and if you can use being a housewife in the service of God, you can pretty much do anything. So we have a few questions. Can we just answer a couple for 5 minutes, and then we'll carry on with the program? Now this is a practical question about applying these things we've been talking about. How does one cope in situations where family members are not so favorable, or in a situation where good association is not available? Well, you know, sometimes it depends, but it happens sometimes that someone tries to take up spiritual life, but then some of the family members object and try and even interfere. So, of course, one important thing is, you know, it's natural with your family to want to share something which you have discovered and which you have found is very nice. It's natural that you will want to share it with your family members. But you cannot just assume that they are just immediately going to find in it what you have found in it. and we cannot just impose on people and force them. There's an old English saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So, you cannot force. You can encourage, but you cannot force. So if the other family members are not interested, then you just keep it to yourself and you carry on and don't impose on them like that. And if good association is not easily available, then you be good association. You be determined to practice your Krishna consciousness, develop your spiritual life, and don't make excuses. Now here's an interesting question. I'll close with this. Please can you tell us who is Lord Chaitanya?
He's behind me.
Well, he's on the altar, actually. There he is. In the picture, the top, your left top picture, Lord Chaitanya is there. Lord Chaitanya is the most recent incarnation of Krishna, according to the Vedic scriptures. The Vedic scriptures are vast and multifaceted in the extreme, and they describe so many things, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a detailed description of how things will develop in this age. This is called Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga at this time. And it's a degraded age. Now, long time ago, this information was written down. But now we see it in front of our eyes, that Kali Yuga is exactly like that. Yes, so there's a lot of information there, including information about the different avatars. And the most recent avatar, according to the Vedic literatures, is Lord Chaitanya, who came 500 years ago. In fact, the anniversary of his appearance is a week today, the 3rd, March the 3rd. So we'll be having big festivals here and there in our temples. So Lord Chaitanya appeared in 1486, and he taught the particular process or the particular activity which should be given the emphasis in this Kali Yuga. There are so many activities to do, religious activities, spiritual activities, but in this Kali Yuga there's one activity which is the main in the sense that it's the most effective, and that is to chant the names, the mantras. To chant those names, particularly the Maha Mantra. Hariyanam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nascheva, 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 Gatsyur Anyata. This is from Brihad Naradiya Purana, one of the Upa Puranas. And it's saying, Hariyanam, one of us chant the names of Hari, Krishna. Three times, Hariyanam, 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 Eva Kevalam, three times emphasized. So, Lord Chaitanya came and demonstrated that and taught that, the chanting of the holy names. So there are many activities that we do in service to the Lord. But the main activity is the chanting of the holy names. So above everything else, we'd like you to take that with you home from our programs. Introduce this chanting of the Maha Mantra into your lives. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.